Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ooh, baby, we have an informative one for you this week.
That's right. We're giving sex. We're giving hoochie.
We're giving comedy talk.
And we're giving fart.
Baby, because you ain't the shit.
You're not even the fart. Margaret Cho is on the show with us today. How exciting. Hollywood legend.
So get into it and enjoy this week's episode. I know I will.
You got your dick sucked.
Fucking hell.
Mom!
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Sloppy seconds.
Oh, diva. Our number is 213-536-9180. Or email us sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you slaps, you stupid little fucks, you not so fucks, you dirty little fucks. Welcome to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm Meatball, and that's Big Dipper. I'm wearing a necklace.
Don't call, just text me.
Because I'm sexy.
Okay, you were saying that it was Beyonce?
Yes.
And I see what you're saying. You're saying the energy dress.
Yes, but hers is green, and she goes like this.
Yes. I like that titty bounce.
You can hear the necklace.
Do you think you're feeling your oats?
I think I'm just trying to look nice.
Why don't you glue that back on? Because we have a special guest today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck.
Why don't you introduce her?
Are you ready for our extremely special guest?
Yes.
She is an icon, a legend, a trailblazer, a badass, a dog mom, a tattoo enthusiast, also a cat mom. Please welcome to the stage, Margaret Cho!
Hey, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Great.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
We're thrilled to have you.
Yeah, this is huge for us.
You are taking some time off of the road because you're currently on tour with the Live and Livid tour.
Yes.
And you're here with us on our podcast, which is unbelievable.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored. Thank you.
No, thank you. And you spend a lot of times with drag queens, right?
Yes.
You're like one of your close friends was, what was her name?
Jackie B?
No, not Jackie B.
Monistat.
Oh,
okay.
She's my drag daughter. And I've been around drag queens my entire life. I mean, I grew up raised by drag queens in the 70s in San Francisco. And you know, there's a long history of drag in my lifetime. So it's wonderful to see how popular it is now.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah. Thoughts?
It's a popular thing now.
No, you're doing a classic drag thing right now, which is that you glued an earring to your chest.
Yeah.
For the illusion of a necklace.
I like it.
Absolutely.
I like it. Well, because it's like a piercing.
Yeah, kind of.
She got a dermal.
Oh my gosh! Remember when those were so popular? People would just get them all over their face.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. Like, you know what really freaks me out is when they get it like in their gum line.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they get like, a piercing up in their like, their gum. My gums could never. My gums are so receded that my gums are in receda. They actually. There's some good gums living in Reseda. Like, they're too far, my gums. My gums have gone too far.
That
is a very shaming experience when you go to the dentist and they, like, do whatever the measurement is on the gum. Do you know the
one? Yeah, yeah.
The first time, it had been a while since I went to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved out to LA and I was like, you know what, bitch? I'm getting my dental hygiene together. Mm-hmm. And I go to the dentist. Mm-hmm. Now you get mad at me because I go 4 times a year for the cleaning.
Which is crazy to me.
That's so many times.
Four times a year?
That's so many
quarterly.
Times.
Quarterly.
But
in
then
my
you
mouth.
Have you have no you have no tartar. It's better to go often than it doesn't hurt.
Yes.
And it's
and
not
so
scary.
The first time I went, they were doing the gum measurements and they were giving 4, 5, bleeding, 5.
Well, they,
whatever
when
this
they prick
is.
At it. I remember the last time I went, they went, we got loose gums.
Yeah, the gums are like, that's the weirdest thing about aging is how far they recede. But also, you know what's worse is calculus. When they get that hard crust on the teeth.
Oh,
yeah.
when it's just like, you know, it's very meth mouth.
Yes. And you can like see it. You can like kind of dig in it.
Yeah.
India Farah.
Oh, what? My
she
God.
Had it real bad. She came for some girls and then meme they just started culture. Posting pictures of her teeth.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are some good times.
But some people, you know, flossing, you have to like, why is dental hygiene as a child just abhorrent?
I remember,
I used to run the water and stick my toothbrush under there and just stand and then be like, it's wet. 30 yeah. seconds later, I did it. Like, why do we not want to do that?
You know, well, I say one thing?
What?
Little kids' teeth, they all fall out. So you're not really mm-hmm. taking care of anything.
You know what? That is
it's
true.
It's like, what's the mm-hmm. point of even doing it until you're an adult?
You're not as emotionally tied to yeah, the
exactly.
longevity.
Exactly. You're like, they're going to be gone soon anyway.
I want to talk about your tour.
Yes.
There's a quote in the announcement about your tour that says, celebrating 40 years as a stand-up comedian. Is that true?
Yes.
40 years?
Since 1983. It's so crazy because I started really young.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was doing comedy as a kid, like, and I was going to comedy clubs. I had a partner. I was a comedy duo with Sam Rockwell, who's uh-huh. a very famous actor now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we would do these comedy shows, and we had to leave the bar because, you know, we were too young to be in there, but we could go on and do the show and then, like, leave. So, I've been doing it for a really long time.
That's incredible.
That's insane.
Like, when I think of you, I feel like you're such a household name.
Mm-hmm.
But literally at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if I went into a dive bar and you were doing a set for like 12 people.
Because she'll
then
do
like
anything. The bitch
out.
Will do anything. Yes.
I mean, you're
the
here. Bitch, you're doing yeah, this.
I know. She'll you, do we anything. Were in a stand-up show together one time and I was like, how am I on the same bill as Margaret fucking Cho?
I think that like I have to do it because I'll get to, it's like going to the dentist. If you don't do it often, you get scared.
That's it. Quarterly.
Then you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, you have to do it. Like I have to do it a couple times a day, I think.
Really?
In general, to like keep it like going. To yeah. keep it moving because I'm so like I'll forget everything and then I get stage fright and then it builds and builds and builds and then I'll just never do it. So that's why I try to do as many shows as I can. I think like it just keeps me better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps you in practice.
It's also amazing that after 40 years you're like not only are you doing it but it doesn't seem like you're doing it begrudgingly.
Oh no,
you
I
still
love it.
It.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's also like I just don't know how to I have social anxiety when it's like just people. So when I go out and like do comedy, it's like that's my social life.
And there's
pretty
a
much.
Structure to it.
There's a structure. And then I like I'm going on stage. I know what's going to happen. And then it's over. And then I can go home. And then it's like a really satisfying way to be social without having to engage in trauma.
Well,
I'm sure people dump on you all the time.
I'm just scared all the time. Well, I also I'm sober. So that's kind of the other thing too. Like, I can't really go to parties. I can't really go to bars. Mm-hmm. I don't really do any of that kind of stuff. So for me, stand-up comedy is that. It's like my social life. It's like where I get to see my friends. It's where I get to just talk shit or whatever, and then I can leave.
That's a muscle. I've been sober for a while, too, and that muscle of, like, when you do. I still go out to parties, and I still, like, over New Year's, I went to Palm Springs, and I hung out with a group of guys, and I purposely told myself, I'm like, go do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole sort of vibe was we're drinking, who's doing shots, what party drugs are we going to do, and then we're going out to the club. That was the plan. It wasn't, you know, all day long, and they're not like, you know, whatever. I'm not speaking ill of them. I was just like, what do I do with my hands? What do I do with my...
Yeah, I find that difficult right now, too, because, like, I don't want to be out drinking, but it's like, what else is there to do?
Yeah.
Well...
What? For me, as a drag queen.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? It's like when I go and host my show, it's like everyone's just sending me shots to the back. And I could have some like self-respect and be like, please stop. But I don't.
And you take them all down.
And I take them all down and I black out on stage.
Which is, there's a place for that too.
Sure.
And I think my party is the perfect place for that.
It's fun for that. It's fun for that. I've done a lot of that, you know?
Yeah.
And so now it's really just like, for me, stand-up comedy is a good way to encase the social experience and make it safe and also exciting.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the way that from, you know, from, I don't know that I've seen you live, but I've definitely seen a lot of your specials. And from the way that you tell stories and the way that you engage the audience, it doesn't feel, you never feel scared. Mm-hmm. You're always like, oh, she knows what she's up to. Yeah. And then even if there's a stumble, she's so fortified that, like, she'll just go over here for a little bit and then come back. Like, it's very, like we were talking about, calming. Like, it's very reassuring.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
And I learn a lot, too.
I'm really glad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can learn. Informative. We can learn.
Well, you recently, what?
Are you talking about the most recent one on the stand-up special on Peacock?
Well, I wanted to say you opened a couple sets I've seen that are circulating where you talk about Fresh Off the Boat. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you basically land with, you said, we fucked it up so bad that it took 20 years. Another Asian American family comedy from network television.
They didn't have Asians on television for like, they had a moratorium of Asians for like a quarter of a century.
Because of you.
Because of me.
What do you mean that you fucked it up so bad?
I'm just kidding. Oh, like, okay. It's more like just when we did on my television show in 1994, American Girl, which is 30 years ago, they were like so excited about bringing a non-white family to television. This is first Asian American family show on TV. And so much of it was like supposed to be based on my stand-up comedy, but I'm like a dirty, filthy nightclub comedian. Yeah. And so they were trying to make it like a kid-friendly show. So that's probably where the disconnect happened.
Yeah.
But it was very hard. It was really hard to be sort of the face of that. And then they just didn't have another Asian show. It took
so wild
over 20 years for them to come back with Fresh Off the Boat.
And now it feels like there is been an upswing in a lot of Asian representation in TV and film.
Yes.
And it's so exciting to see many projects.
It's super exciting. And it's super like, it's a long time coming.
Right.
And it's still relatively new. Like, I mean, it's still growing. So I would love to see more happening.
I like when you, you know, like when you're watching something and then you pop up in a guest star, mm-hmm. and when you listen to a lot of these people, like a Fire Island movie, mm-hmm. or like see you pop up in Nora from Queens, there's a conversation. It's like, obviously you're hilarious and great and fun to be in the show, but there's a conversation of like, how could we not put Margaret Cho in this? Like, she blazed the trail for like queer comedians, for Asian comedians to have these big projects. And so it's so fun to see another generation like.
And definitely I'm guilting everybody into making me in their shows. Like, you would not have this if I didn't do, you know, like, of course I use like, that.
Run me my role.
You better.
And it's a recurring.
Yeah, I have no pride about it. I'm like, you know what? I definitely think it's, for me, it's job security.
Right.
Like, trying to make sure to get my foot back in the door. Like, and I love that, like, everybody is so kind and gives me the space to do stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah.
So I'm really thrilled about that.
That's amazing.
Really
That's
nice. So cool.
We have to ask you about Mariska Hargitay.
Ooh, yes.
You did SVU, yeah?
I did SVU. And she was on All American Girl. That was one of her first acting jobs.
Really? What?
She was on my show before SVU. So this is like really long time ago. So yeah, 30 years ago. Incredible.
That's insane.
Wait, what did she play on your show?
She was a bartender in, I think the club was called Frotage. And she was in the show, and she was just gorgeous. Oh, and she is still gorgeous, of course. But yes, I was so excited to be on SVU.
That's so incredible. What is a day on an SVU set
you
like?
Love SVU.
Because I'm obsessed with it, but I'm like, these actors are like booked for like 12 hours and then they leave.
Well, they get everybody starts usually in Chelsea Piers. They have the studio built in there. And so it's, you know, you go in and everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody on that show has been on that show for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Whether that's, you know, anybody in the crew or like makeup and hair, all of them, they know what they're doing. So they have it completely dialed in. And then you go and you shoot stuff in like, we were shooting all over in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And the streets are busy. Like New York is busy. But they're managing to shoot all of these things inside the hustle and bustle of New York City. It's so incredible. It's because everybody knows what they're doing.
Wow.
So I'm really impressed by the professionalism and also the just the mettle that they have, that this incredible ability to shoot in the busiest, most craziest city ever.
That's nuts. I thought they would like shut down the block and like be like, no one come by. Yeah.
Nothing shuts down. Nothing is, you know, and they deal with the sound, the way the sound is in the city. So if sirens are going by, it's just part of it. You know, they let all of the natural New Yorkness come through. I mean, I think that's why the show is so successful, is because it just exists within the city it's shot in so seamlessly.
Yeah.
And I always like watching it and being like, oh, I've been on that street corner. Oh, I blacked out over there. Oh, I threw up on that corner. You know what I mean? Just like simple things like that.
It's so great. And you know, Olivia Benson. It's just so iconic. I like when she has short hair. To me, that's the most iconic, but they're all
the earlier seasons. Those were the good ones too, where she would get like just the full season would be all about her. Mm. And then they would be like, remember the one where she got kidnapped?
Oh my God.
And it was like a 5-episode arc and she was just in a bedroom for 5 episodes. It was so good.
So good. She's just so good.
I wonder if it even, I mean, this is a dumb question, but I wonder if it even feels like acting anymore because like she's not playing any other characters. She's just been this character for that long.
Well, she
like
knows.
Obviously she's
she knows what she's doing. Like when and you know I've got to work with her really intensely, and so when we're doing the scenes, she's really playing it all different kind of ways. So you get to try try different ways to approach something that seems kind of simple, like an interrogation scene. She'll come and like look at it from different ways. So it's very generous as an actor to work with somebody that's like. Knows her their character so well that they can just come at it from a different angle. So it's really, I love that. I think it's really cool.
We need to get you on that show.
Yeah, you got to.
I've tried. When I lived in New York, I auditioned twice, but
we'll
maybe Dead Hooker. You know what I mean? Something like that.
There's like a million, like if you think about like a million things that you could sort of be a, you know, like a figure in the nightlife. You could be criminal. You could be victim. There's a lot of places we can go.
I want to see you. And you open the door, but you're like the eyelashes here. The wig is you're like disheveled in the morning. The morning after, and they're like, "Did Wanda come home last night?" And you're like, "Haven't seen her."
Who's Wanda?
That's what I see. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay, something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
We're back.
Okay, recently this interview with Cat Williams has sort of gone super viral.
Yeah.
And Cat Williams is talking a lot about getting an invitation to the Illuminati, turning down $50 million
I wish.
For a deal. You know, like all of these sort of like Hollywood things that you hear about.
Yeah.
What is the most Hollywood experience, or like, what do you know about that's happening behind closed doors, or what have you been invited to?
You know, I've never been invited to the Illuminati. I still don't know what that is, but I'm not at the level of Cat Williams, who I absolutely love.
Oh, me too. Yeah,
I love Cat Williams. I mean, I think it's just, he's probably like the best. He can read. He just reads people to filth.
Yes.
Just snatches everybody's wig. Like, it's just, it's unholy how good he is. Yeah. Just snatching wigs and snatching. He's just the best. But I think, like, the most Hollywood thing is somebody warned me, like, really sternly, don't ever park in Milton Berle's parking space. And I think it was, like, really, like, this was, like, in 1985 or something. And I was invited to the Friars Club, and the, you know, Milton Berle's parking space is like really, first it was all the handicapped spaces, and then it was Milton Berle's space, and they're like, never park there. And I think somebody had parked there and he really read them, but it was like this thing where it was all of these people going, it's like all these old comics would get together and like do sets for each other. Oh. So it was like, it was just like Joan Rivers, and it was Don Rickles and Steve Allen, and everybody would wait for Milton Berle, and he would do comedy. And it was just, to me, it was a very intimidating experience. They put way too much mayonnaise in the shrimp Louis. Like, it was a very, like, weird kind of mayonnaise-y salad experience. So that's the only thing that I was really, like, openly invited to.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Were you well received as you were coming up in Hollywood?
Kind of. I think because I was just so odd. So nobody felt really threatened by my appearance. Everybody was sort of amused that I was just this like young Korean kid kind of around.
Right.
And so I was taken care of very well. You know, people like Joan Rivers really took a notice and shined me and took care of me a lot. And, you know, I think I was really lucky, and I found a lot of great comedians who really enjoyed my comedy and also wanted to see what was happening, what else would happen.
Right.
So that was really a good place to be.
Did you ever feel like you were like kind of singled out a little bit? Because I feel like you were one of the first comedians I ever saw performing and talking about queer rights and like being non-binary and kind of that information, which was like new to me when I was hearing your stand-up specials.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever say anything to you about that, or like try to make you tone it down?
Oh yeah, totally. And like also, you know, when I would talk about drugs, that was a big deal too. Never talk about drugs.
And like, sex. Never talk about drugs. Sex toys hard for a while.
I still do. Okay. Like, I think all that stuff is really important to talk about and discuss. But yeah, like queerness, any of that stuff was so incredibly outlaw. And the people that I was really responding to in comedy and in art, I think, is like, I was all about Sandra Bernhard and Madonna's relationship. To me, that was like everything, because it seemed so cool and it seemed so out there. And so that to me was like, oh, that's inspiring. You know, I love that.
Did you have an example of someone who was really using their voice that you saw and you were like, oh, now that I'm in front of people, I'm gonna say this? Or did it just come naturally to you to be like, you know what, racism sucks, and maybe we should question authority?
I guess it was mostly probably people like Richard Pryor, because he was very honest and like very forthright about all of his life, whether that was how racism affected him, how drugs affected him, all that stuff. So to me, he was a really great example of how to be, you know. And then I think just watching somebody like that rise and of course become so powerful and then deal with like the difficulty of his disease, his diagnosis, his death. Like, it was like really, to me, it's very intense. So I was lucky enough to know him a little bit near the very end, and I work with him some. But, you know, like, I just think he's not brought up as often in conversation of somebody that was really pivotal to the way that we think about comedy and the way that we think about truth in comedy.
Because that conversation has evolved so much, and even more so now with people doing comedy on TikTok and, you know, getting through as many sort of like cultural revolutions and like peeling back the layers of our wokeness and our brain. Mm-hmm. Like, what is funny? What is acceptable? What are words we can say? What are words we can't say? I think it is such a fascinating thing to see. I mean, you do such an amazing job of being earnest, speaking about issues that really matter, mm-hmm. and then like belly laughs, like gut chuckles.
Thank you.
And I think a lot of people are nervous. Like, a lot of people are like, no, I'm meant to be the clown. I'm meant to entertain. Even us, I mean, we're on a podcast. Like, this is a long form. We've been doing it for years. We just spill what's in our brain. But sometimes we go like, people don't want to hear us be super political. Or people don't want to hear us like speak up. They want to hear us like tell dirty jokes about sucking dick in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Which we'll get
But
to.
That is political too. Like, you know, if you're putting your life in a space that's public, right. and a life that is contested. Like, there's so much homophobia, there's so much anti-drag, there's so much anti-gay stuff out there, that to be openly sexual and celebrating that and laughing about it is incredibly political. So both sides are political, whether it's openly talking about politicians or just talking about our lives. It's incredibly important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that. We are doing the work. Margaret Cho says we're doing the work.
We're doing the work. And like, the thing is that we can find profound in the things that are profane. Like, the thing that's blowing my mind, this is like not even a joke. Today, I was like blown away by Ice Spice on the TikTok sound that's going, bitch, you think you're the shit? You're not even the fart.
Yes.
Right. That's so deep to me.
That is deep.
Girl, I was like, holy shit. Like, I was like, wait, hold up.
It's incredible.
You think you're the shit? You're not even the fart. Like,
it's there.
And it's like, what's crazy is that she is somehow putting the intersection of cool and absolute absurdity together, which I think is something Cardi B does. Like,
So good.
And it is, you're like, that is the hottest lyric in hip hop right now.
The hottest.
And you're literally saying fart.
And but you're like, you think you're the shit, but you're not even the fart is like, to me, I mean, my kingdom for the intelligence to come up with that.
Agreed,
yes.
That read is so, I'm like, oh, no. Nobody can come back from that. Nobody can. Nobody, who's going to even come? You can't step up.
No.
The only person who could come back from that is Cat Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Like, I would like to see his response. But that, to me, it's really like, that is it. That's
incredible.
All I need.
Incredible. Okay, speaking of the youth. Ice Spice being the youth, you have also sort of for years talked about your sexuality and sort of gender in a way that a lot of people were like, well, what's going on? You're bi, you're queer. Like, what? Everyone was like always questioning. And now all the kids are like, we're paying and we don't care and who cares? And
yeah, whatever. Nothing matters.
Why are you in my pants?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I like the idea that it's like, gender can be evolving, and also we can actually not conform to what's been laid out for us, that we can like forge a new path.
Right.
So to me, that's always really interesting and also very like, illuminating, like, I think that's what I've been this whole time.
Yes.
Right.
Which is cool.
Well, we were having this conversation. Was it with you? Maybe I was talking to Delta.
Mm-hmm. What was the conversation?
It was with a drag queen.
It might have been me.
We were just talking about the evolution of identities and how that there are some people who are like, if I was 17 now, I would be a woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
at this point in my life, I would be a woman. But that was just was not an option.
It wasn't
for
an
me.
Option because we didn't have the language to, like, know what it was or we had no example. It was just like, I feel different. I guess I'm gay.
Right.
Yeah.
That is so, that to me is a very profound sort of thought to be like, you know, born in a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole trajectory would be different. Huh.
Huh.
Should we take a break?
We should.
All right.
And we're back. Do you know Wicked? You ever seen Wicked?
Yes.
You like it?
Yes, I love it.
Okay, what about the second act? Because it's not very good. The first act is good.
It's all good to me. I mean, as a whole, I don't know. I can't really think about
it. Now think about it a second time.
If you think about it a little bit harder, the second act kind of doesn't make any sense.
This is a campaign that people
are I'm just trying to say, if they're going to rework Wicked, maybe we get rid of the second act.
Okay.
That's so does that mean you're not going to go see the second film when they release it in two parts?
I don't know. I've heard that they're splitting it right in the middle of Defying Gravity.
Oh, so it's going, ah.
And then it'll, and then you gotta see.
But the second act of most musicals is kind of like that, though, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, they try to like, rush you out. It's usually like 35 minutes, and they're like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And
usually, they get, like the second act, I'm always like at the second part of an edible. Yeah. You know, like when you go to the theater, and I don't do it anymore, but when I used to go to the theater and get, you'd eat an edible at the very beginning or like right before like the interlude, you know, to do the music. And then by the second act, you're super confused.
Yeah. You're just like, what happened?
Song but the dance. First act is so good mm-hmm. on an edible. But then the second act, you're like, I don't know. I'm trying to stay awake.
I always feel that way about that like mid second act sort of like ballad torch song. Mm. I'm always like, I don't need that. I get it that the character might need it. Mm-hmm. You know, like in the Olivia Benson musical, she may need to sing that song to get her,
absolutely,
you know, to go back to the pixie cut or whatever. But
she cuts like, her hair on stage.
Yes, every night. But oh, for me, I'm like, keep it upbeat. Like, I want to see the production numbers and then the bow at the end.
Yeah.
You're a mess.
Yeah.
Quick question, just because I heard you talk about it. You used to party with Anna Nicole Smith.
Yes. Well, it's actually, you can watch it on her TV show.
Oh, yeah.
So you can see, and I hadn't drank alcohol for like years. And then I went to her house and you had this like sculpture. She had an ice sculpture and you would throw a shot of Jägermeister into the mouth of the Anna Nicole sculpture, and then it would come out the vagina. So she and I did shots of Jaeger off of the top. Howard was pouring them in to the top.
Gosh.
And then Anna and I were sucking them both simultaneously out of the ice vagina. So I feel like I don't need to do any more drugs or drink.
Yeah. No,
you're
good.
Done that.
That's the end. That's iconic.
That's so iconic. So that wasn't in the show. But it was me and her and Kathy Griffin and the wrestler Chyna.
Oh, yes. China.
No longer with us.
I know.
Who's iconic also.
Very iconic.
Very iconic.
Wow. How do you keep an ice sculpture? Was it just for the day? It's not like
it was just for that, for that event.
Just for that.
Then there was nobody at the party except for us. Oh, and then the a couple of her family members.
I feel like that happens a lot for rich folks where they throw parties, but there's only like 10 people.
Yeah, nobody there.
Because they're like, it's got to be a tiny circle.
Very
small. Because you don't want people to talk about it later.
Yeah.
Well, she's dead now.
Oh my God. We have a little game that we like.
Have you been
play.
To one of Kathy Griffin's dinners yet?
Yes.
They have look you? So yes. fun. No. One of our friends has.
Our friend goes
said she had a wonderful time.
Yeah, you should. Ryan Nasher, comedian? Ryan Nasher?
Yes.
Ryan.
She goes a lot.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Those look wild.
They look
like a power group.
Yeah, and Sia always sings.
Just like seated at the table?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So she's good for a bunch of songs. We should ask Sia about the Illuminati. She's very, she's so beautiful, and she'll always sing. You can always get one or two out of her.
Wow. That's incredible.
Very
to
cool.
To have her live.
Oh, her voice is so spectacular. So
does she like it, you think?
I think she doesn't probably love it, but she'll go along with it.
Yeah,
you for the just, group.
Because it's kind of like, you know. Do some jokes
yeah,
for
please,
us.
Like, please, yeah. Do it.
Do you each
it.
Go around the table and do your talent?
No, but what it is that Kathy sort of orchestrates it. So Kathy wants to make sure that everybody has say of like what their, you know, what their opinions are. And so she kind of like wants to hear from people in a very organized fashion because it's like it's chaotic because there's so many people.
With that many personalities too.
So she's a conductor.
It looks fun. That's one of my, that's one of my LA goals is to like, be in a room full of people that I've seen their work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, it's happened a few times, but on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. I just feel like that's a wild. I have a couple friends who are TV actors and like, they were like, oh yeah, we went to this weird party. And then she listed everyone who's there. And I was like, that sounds like primetime television.
I've been to one of those. And
oh,
I,
you were at
I
one of those.
I had a panic attack. Mm. I had a full blown panic attack. And I was like, I have to leave. I have to go.
Say what it was. Well, I'll bleep it.
Wait, which one?
The one you got hired to go to.
Oh, I did a birthday party, and it was like just everybody, like
dancing,
I just like dancing everywhere, and it was just like insane.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like walked up to, I was like, "I love your music," and she went, you're beautiful. And I dropped the glass.
Oh, my God.
And it shattered. And she looked at it and then looked at me and then walked away.
Wow.
It was just like, it was just the scariest moment of my life. Are you ready to play a game?
I'm ready.
Okay, this game is based on the 2008 Tyra Banks interview of Beyonce entitled Beyonce Say My Name, Say My Name, where she asked her questions based on her name, but they were like rhymes. Mm-hmm. So we call this one Slap My Name. And this is just going to be rapid fire questions based off of things that rhyme with your name.
Okay.
Kind of. Margaret Ho, what decade do you think was your sluttiest?
I think my 40th decade, my 40s.
Really?
Oddly.
No, that, I mean, isn't that when people get there?
40s are slutty.
Oh, I heard it was like your dirty 30s.
Yeah, dirty 30s too, but 40s, you're like, you go for it in a different way.
Okay.
I think there's something about it.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Margaret Slow, what is something you like to take slowly?
the stairs.
Same.
Oh, no.
What?
Sharded Cho. When was the last time that you sharted? Like, it's a shit and a fart at the same time, but in your pants.
Of course. I mean, you know,
You're not even the fart.
It happens often. It happens so often.
No!
It happens often because I have a loose stool at times. I just eat a lot of oranges. It's citrus season. So I get very into fruit and I eat a little too much. I get very loose. Yeah. I drink a lot of coffee.
Oh, that'll do it.
It's, okay. You know, it's 50-50.
We have a friend named Lucy Stuhl in Chicago.
That's great.
Yeah, we call her Lucille.
She's a beautiful queen. Lucille Stuhlington. Target Cho. What's the most money that you think you've ever spent on a trip to Target?
Oh, gosh, probably about $244. That's almost always like, because you always end up getting like a bunch of body butter and like an eyebrow pencil. And you know, you're like, oh, it's just, and then it's $20. You know, like you get like something that is like, wait, why is that $40? And oh, you know.
But then you don't question it. You like see the price and you're like, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, fine. Okay, fine.
Margaret Blow, do you like trick candles on birthday cakes?
No.
You thought I was going to ask about cocaine.
Because I have a little bit of that COPD. I can't be fucking with it. I can't. She can't.
Margaret Homo. Do you remember the first person you ever came out to?
Oh, gosh. No, but I think that I did spend, like, a good portion of the 80s coming out. Like, you know when you're young and, like, you're real, like, militant about being gay? You just start violently coming out to everybody? That's so annoying. I'm so glad I'm over that. But I hate that.
I know.
I was coming out left and right, and everyone was like, we know.
Yeah, everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
What about now? Does anyone ever say, like, assume you have a wife at home?
Me?
I don't know. It happens.
In life?
It happens.
You, I could see that for, but me, when I'm out, I'm like, thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
It happens to me a lot, and I it's easier to just walk. I'm leaving a store. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't need to turn around and be like, I suck dick. But I do sometimes get that urge, that like militant urge of like, let everyone know.
I'm
going
to come out. Because I came of age during like ACT UP.
Right.
And Queer Nation. And when being gay was like this very like combative thing.
Yeah.
So you would just like come out really angrily. In like these jean shorts. That they was before jorts, like lesbian made jorts.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So annoying.
Oh. I'm gay.
I'm fucking gay. Act up.
Yeah.
Carpet Cho. Do you like shag carpet or smooth hardwood floors? Answer for real first and then we can talk about genitals.
I love a smooth hardwood floor.
Really?
Because I've got allergies. So I need to mop. No dust can be down there. I got to vacuum and mop every day.
Really?
Yeah, what? I do.
How do you feel about like a Roomba that does it for you?
I have too many stairs. So I would love a Roomba, but it's just, I would have to have one for every floor and it's just too much.
Too many Roombas.
If one could climb up and down stairs and do the stairs.
Uh-oh. Then we got a problem.
That's
then the
too
robots
much.
Are taking over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sentient. I don't want that in my house.
Yeah, it's very sentient.
When you think about what could be in the carpet, that like makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, I mean, I could never have carpet because I have too many allergies. So there's no way. I mean, yeah, no.
Okay, now what about genitals?
What about genitals?
Genitals, like I do like a bit of uncut. And I like foreskin. I like but it's got to be clean.
Sure.
And
sure,
I
sure,
like sure. pubes. I like 70s pubes.
Yes. A pubes. Same. I want it untouched.
Yeah. Do 70s not trim pubes, it at like all. No trimming, like very like hairy butt, hairy asshole, mm-hmm. hairy butt. I like a lot of hair. I think it's, I don't know, there's something about it that's just really like beautiful, natural.
I was just a quick detour.
Yeah, quick.
You know
yeah.
when you're
really
like
got 20 more of these questions.
Cupping an ass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then like your fingers are in the crack.
Yeah.
And then if you like rub up and down.
Uh-huh.
This guy had so much butt hair that like there was resistance when yeah. I was rubbing up and down.
That's nice.
That's nice. I yeah. like I like super hairy.
You're
like
that. Yeah. Get the comb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Style it
when
back.
It's real wiry and beautiful, I think it's really strong hair. It's nice.
Yeah I don't like when it's all straight.
Yeah.
That we can trim because that looks wild. It looks like it's wearing a wig. It's
like this wig. American. There is something that I'm really into about freshly shorn balls.
Mm-hmm.
But with shorn. Within fucking 12 hours, it's stubbly.
Yeah, stubbly.
So it's like just let me know right after you shaved them, mm-hmm. and I'll touch on those for hours. But then the moment the stubble comes in, I can't deal with it. Yeah, too sharp.
Yeah, prickly.
Margaret Toe, do you like having your feet played with sexually?
No, because I have had so many recurrences of toenail fungus that I've actually had to have toenails fully removed.
Did it work for you?
It did, but they came back kind of weirdly bumpy. So they came back really deformed, but it did work.
So they're
because he's got clear going of the on down
issue.
There.
They're clear of the issue,
but they're not aesthetically
no,
as lovely.
No, because they're bumpy.
They're bumpy.
So it
toes.
Just looks like, but there's no fungus.
Interesting.
But they're bumpy.
I think you go to my toe lady, and she can maybe make them smooth.
She could probably
get some real shiny too,
just to buff them down. That's what I do. Like I buff them down,
mm-hmm.
but the fungus is gone.
That's cool.
But it took the just an extreme measure of actually removing the toe, and that's also weird to not have toenails.
Yeah. For how long?
They grew back over about 6 months, but it took a long time.
When they're half up, that must be so weird.
It's so weird. It's super weird.
I love that. Half up.
You know what I mean?
I just love that image. Half up.
Started at Cho. If we didn't start the fire, who did? I didn't write this one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Oh, okay.
Who didn't? Who? I don't know. Who?
Those people doing the gender reveal.
Yeah.
On the forest fire.
They did start
fuck
all the
them.
Hopefully we don't have those anymore.
Gender reveal.
They seem to have gone down, haven't they?
They've gone down, but Trisha Paytas just did one, and it's just kind of like, what's the point?
Yeah, like, why are you deciding before the person who is meant to decide, which is the child?
Right. Yeah.
The child should decide.
It's crazy.
That's like the revealing
it's also
of
like baby clothes and all that could just be genderless. And like,
wait,
why does it have to be pink
why
and blue?
Does
why
does
it
have to be gendered? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Who knows?
Garnet Cho, what's your birthstone?
Amethyst. I'm a Sagittarius December, so I think it's amethyst, right?
Oh.
I don't know.
I believe it's
happy
amethyst.
Belated birthday.
Thank
happy
you.
Birthday. Margaret O. Who was Margaret O. Who was the last person you owed money to?
I don't know.
No debts. She said
no debts.
I don't think.
You settled your debts.
I don't think I have any debts.
Margaret Monroe. Have you ever dressed up like Marilyn Monroe and sang happy birthday? Or would you?
I haven't. I would. I think, I don't. That shade of blonde wouldn't work for me. I would have to have it like maybe closer to an orange blonde.
Yes.
For it to work, like a warmer.
Uh-huh.
But I think Marilyn is so brilliant. You know, she's wonderful, and if you go watch her movies, she's actually like so much more than people realize.
Funny.
She's so funny and just so cool and really interesting. I just watched The Misfits the other day. She's very interesting, very tragic
cool.
in that.
Yeah.
Lots of tragedy and pathos. Very interesting. But I have not done that.
Mm-hmm.
Someday.
Harness Cho, where's the weirdest place you've worn a strap on?
There was one that was like a Karate Kid one because it was a forehead, like a unicorn.
Uh-huh.
That one didn't stay on, but it was very, very Karate Kid. I like the thigh harness. I think that's a good one. Or I like a a fieldo, which is a sort of a self, it's not a double-ended dildo, but it kind of works as one. It's like an internal harness.
Oh, yes.
So I've seen those. You hold it in and then you use that. I think those are cool.
Yeah, I've always been very, I'm not obviously deeply versed in that side of queer sex, but I was always like, you know, queer women who are wearing the strap on and topping, where are they getting the pleasure? And a lot of them that I've talked to have been like, oh, I just like getting my partner off. And I'm like, well, when are you getting off?
Well, you figure it out. You work it out. I mean, unless you're stone. That's a different thing, you know. But I think it's very pleasurable to sort of feel like what it would feel like to have a penis. Right. You know? Yeah. So there's a lot of excitement around that. I mean, I'm really not very masked, and I'm not a top, so I can't really speak to it that much. But at times I've had done it, it's really, to me, it's really fun. It's really satisfying.
And I think it's cool, the one that allows you to feel.
Because then it's like
it's even more like affirming of like that top position.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah,
those
it'd
are
be
interesting
to fuck someone without an internal sensation. Like obviously a mental stimulant and like, you know, being turned on, but like you don't feel it.
Yeah.
All right.
Farm it, Cho. Do you have any vegetables in your garden at home?
I do. I have tomatoes and my herb garden, which is always there, but the strawberries are not, they're not giving me fruit yet. I think it has to be hotter.
Mm. Starlet Cho, who is the most famous movie actor in your phone?
In my phone? Mm. Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Margaret Thoreau, David Henry fan? Are you a fan of David Henry?
I don't know. Yeah, probably, I guess.
Incarnate Cho. Do you know Charlene Incarnate?
No.
Oh, you would love her.
She's a queen from Brooklyn.
Mm.
She's nuts. Mm. Margaret Tableau. If someone were to paint a Renaissance-style painting of you or for you, what images or scenes would you like to be featured in the painting?
I always love it when they're on a swing.
Yes.
Like a swing of flowers.
Yes.
Like made of like vines.
Oh, gorgeous.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
So pretty. Yes.
Margaret Tarot. When was the last time that you had your tarot cards read?
Oh, it's been a few years.
Do you believe in that stuff?
Yes. Not yes and no, because I think it's really, it's all just sort of made up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But it's also fun.
It is fun.
Why not?
And sometimes you hear what you need to hear.
Yeah.
Always. And that's like it.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it comes down to who's doing the reading.
Because mm-hmm.
sometimes it's like...
I would like to have Cat Williams do my reading.
I know. he's going to read somebody so good.
But sometimes it's like magic, right? Like if you see someone do a magic trick and you're like, oh, brother. You know, like it's kind of an eye roll. But like if they're cool about it, you're like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing with tarot cards.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was...
Slip My Name! Shut up, faggot.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
And we're back!
Okay, so your tour, Live and Livid, you have upcoming tour dates. What's it like to be on the road? You've been doing it forever.
I love it.
Yeah.
I will always do it. I mean, to me, it's just so powerful to be able to go out and just like go different places all over the world and do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really exciting thing. And there are people who have been coming to see me over and over for years and years. And so it's wonderful to see them again. So I just really treasure it. You know, I think it's something that I will always do. We did a lot of dates this last year in Florida, which was really good because so many people were like, oh, you know, they're advising travel advisories for gay people not to go to Florida. But what about the gay people who live in Florida? You know, you want to go for them, make sure they don't feel left out.
Right.
You don't feel like we're abandoning them to this. So it was really good to do that.
Did you feel any awkwardness or were there protesters at the show?
No, there were no protesters or nothing like that, but you feel it like, you know, you see so much like Christian signage, you know, like I get so freaked out about all of the kind of like the bumper stickers of, you know, like with God and guns and Trump and all that stuff. To me is just really like, what the hell? It's so weird.
I just don't understand how they can equate the one thing to the other to the other.
Yeah.
And it's like, you see the God and guns and Trump
doesn't
all
make
together.
Any, like,
and they're,
all,
like,
they're also different.
It's all the same. And you're like, no, it is not.
It's not the same. It's not the same. I mean, it's like such a weird. Also, have you heard the reports of what Trump smells like?
No.
He smells like, ketchup, a butt, B.O., man makeup.
That's disgusting. Ketchup?
Ketchup.
Oh, because he's probably eating all the, all he eats is McDonald's.
Yeah. Ugh. Ketchup, a butt.
A butt, probably because he's like, because
it's
not
like,
showering.
Well, there's the diaper.
The diaper.
And then it's B.O. and makeup.
He's
well,
not,
you know what? He sounds like a drag queen at the end of the night.
You know what he's not doing? He's not squatting in the shower to make sure he cleans his butt.
I think that everyone should do that.
He's got to have a deep squat. You know he doesn't have an African net sponge.
I do. I know he does not.
He
you are
needs,
correct.
If
he
anybody
needs the
needs,
African net sponge.
He
oh
needs
my
an
God.
African net sponge.
Oh, my gosh.
Those scrub, too.
They
those
really,
are nice.
We all need one.
They're so amazing.
You can get the back.
I mm-hmm. love getting the back.
But he doesn't get, you know, he doesn't get all the way in there.
No, he probably, like, kind of rubs the front and is like, the water
he lets
will
the
get
water.
The rest.
He lets the water yeah. run down.
Which you can't do. You can't do
no, you
that.
Have to clean
too many
your body.
People do.
You have to clean your body.
Clean your body.
It is so crazy. The Florida thing is so crazy also because there are so many gay people in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Fort Lauderdale is there. It's like the gayest place in America.
Yes.
And it's like the travel advisors are like, don't go. It's an unsafe place. It's mm-hmm. it's such a wild experience.
Yeah.
Well,
it's so scary.
Are there any other scary places you've gone on this tour yet?
Not well, like just
Tennessee.
There, like
Tennessee is no fun.
We didn't go with this time yet. So, I mean, but, you know, you just, like, we shouldn't have to be scared of our own country.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't have to be scared of our own people. Like, yeah. It's not something that we should be scared of. Like, I don't know what it's going to take. Because, and there's queer people all over there. So, I don't want to leave them behind.
That's good. I love that.
That's nice.
All right. It's time for our final segment of the show, which is called...
Well,
what?
Did you say that for everyone in Los Angeles, the show on February 6th is going to be at the Largo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just well, no, we checking. Were saying it now, and then we'll say it again at the end.
Okay, just double check.
If you're in Los Angeles, you can catch Margaret Cho at the Largo. Do they call it Largo or the Largo?
I think both, but Largo, yes.
Largo.
Largo.
What's about the Coronet?
The Coronet is the building that it's housed in.
Oh.
So the Coronet is the old theater, which that theater has been there for over 100 years.
Got it.
And Largo is... ensconced within that complex.
You know, everyone's got a name for something. But anyways, February 6th here in Los Angeles. You know, because I was like Largo at the Coronet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never knew. Thank you for the... I told you, I learned something every time I listen.
Perfect.
It's now time for our final segment, which is called...
Fuck Talk!
Ah! We've kind of been doing this a long time.
Yeah, we
time.
Like... That's
but really this good. Is a time when we can share an explicit, wild, crazy, embarrassing... Fuck talk story from our past, present, or future.
Yeah.
Mm.
You said that you were going to kick it off.
I didn't say I was going to kick it off. I was just telling you something that happened to me yesterday.
And I think you should share with Margaret and I.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday.
I was, I had been speaking with this person for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting quite friendly. And they were like, well... do you want to come work out with me? And I was like, yeah, I'm actually like on a fitness journey. So like, let's do that. And they were like, well, great. I have passes to my gym. And so I got there. He was like, well, I'll meet you in the parking lot first.
Mm-hmm.
And we met in the parking lot and he gave me a blowjob in the parking lot at the gym, which is not crazy. It's crazy for me because I've literally never done anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we were done, he went, all right, see you later. Closed the door and didn't work out with me.
What?
Wait.
I was like, was it bad? I actually wanted to work out, but
I
think he was leading with
rude.
Like, let's work out to get me there. And then once it was done, he was like...
He was offering you the passes?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a dangling carrot.
That's
and then
rude.
And pulled that carrot away.
Well, I did then eventually just go to my gym. But yeah. I think it is a bit rude.
I think it's rude. I mean, what...
Do you think it's because he didn't like me after the blowy?
Maybe.
I think that might have been it.
Has either he, that or he got his protein and he didn't need you anymore.
There you go.
He was like.
No, he front did, seats?
He said, back seat.
So the two of you got out of the car.
But that's weird, though. I think that's rude. I think, no, I think.
Oh, leaving.
I'm still on leaving. I don't think the back seat is fine.
The back seat is fine. We did. We just moved the front seats forward.
Like I tell you to do.
Yes. And I have an SUV now, so there's more space.
That's
in the
good.
Back. Yeah.
Was the moonroof open?
No, and it has little shade windows that like go up and click up. And
good.
So we were like, click, click. But I will tell you, I accidentally like hit the child lock on the door. So when it was time to get out, we were both like,
oh no, trapped.
Yeah, trapped a little bit. And I had to crawl through the front.
I just think it's rude that he left and when you didn't work out with him. That's just rude.
Yeah, I think that's rude.
Yeah, I find that rude.
What?
What? I'm never going to tell you.
Has he texted you since?
He texted me like...
He texted you gym pics after working out.
He texted me like 2 or 3 hours later and was like, that's fun, let's do it again.
Oh, so in his mind, when he said let's work out, he meant let's hook up.
Oh, I see. It
but
wasn't
I,
that.
I was
yeah,
like,
you
I wanted
like,
to work
I get,
out.
Yeah.
I thought this was just like a plus.
Yeah, but he was just using it as a ruse.
Yeah.
Like almost like a metaphor.
Right.
I'm going to work you out. I have gym passes.
Yeah, like a metaphor.
Gym passes meant I have an unhinged jaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you getting out here in these streets.
I'm really getting out in these streets. And I've told my therapist and they were like, you know, sometimes sex is dangerous. You recognize that, right? And I was like, I do. And then we moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently went to a spa.
A Korean spa?
Yes.
A regular spa. Okay.
And when I was there, this guy was like...
He left. Okay, sorry.
He left.
Keep going, sorry.
This guy was like bouncing his dick at me.
Oh,
you know, using the dick muscle to like wave at me.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I looked at him and I was like, I know this motherfucker. And I had met him off Craigslist like a few years ago.
Oh.
And I had been out to like his business to suck him off in the stairwell, like underneath in like the office building.
Okay.
You can tell his parents don't love him.
No.
It's okay.
And so I was at the spa and I was like, oh. But it's really not a cruisy spa.
Mm-hmm.
Like guys, it was like all gay dudes and like a lot of like sort of like showing off, but no action was being taken. And there were enough non-gay dudes like in the space to make it like wildly inappropriate to engage with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's like scoping each other out. And I'm like, where's the like little room that people go to? Like so many other places, like if you like, you know, look at the message boards or look up on Reddit or like whatever, they always say like, oh, you know, if you go into the secondary locker room, there's always guys hooking up in there. Like that's the, you know, like no one catches you back there or whatever.
Well, I think you need to make a little note in the comment box.
Yeah. I was like, there's nothing.
Where's
I was
the
like,
hookup room?
Yeah.
So he, because I had recognized him from Craigslist, I left without doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and found in our email exchange and I emailed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I drove up and I sucked him off in like some weird yoga room of like a house he was house sitting.
Oh, so good that you did find a place.
Little. Yes. But he was
yoga mats for your knees.
He was house sitting. He was like, come over to my brother's house.
That's always weird. Going into a stranger's home.
Yeah, you got to be careful. I mean, also, this is the season for the hobosexual. So there's a lot of people out here now looking for places to live. And using sex as a way to get in.
Heard that one before, but it's my new personality.
But yeah, don't you know, like, there's people out there that, like, hook up just for housing.
Yeah.
That happened to me one time in New York. Mm. And the guy hooked up with my roommate and then ended up stealing a bunch of his clothes.
Yeah.
And leaving in the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, if you're in my house for longer than 45 minutes, we got a problem.
Yeah.
Do you host? You host people in your home?
Yes. And I have to tell you, we don't have time for it today, but I have to tell you, I met the guy who I gave the toothy blowjob to.
He gave someone a toothy blowjob and then that person called into the... They tweeted about it. And it was really rude.
Was it the dentist?
That's
why you go to the dentist.
That's
why
four times a year.
I pride myself on giving really good head.
Uh-huh.
But I do also like carry tension in my jaw.
So
when I'm tired... It's bad, but when I'm like engaged, it's great head and there's no teeth involved.
Yeah.
And so I was sort of bragging about giving good head on this podcast, and a gentleman tweeted, you know, Dipper gave me a blowjob. It was really toothy. Oh. And we talk about it all the time at our gay brunches.
Oh, my goodness.
And I, like, found this tweet, and we've been trying to figure out who the fuck
Kyle
it was.
Kyle talks about it all the time at our gay brunches. And we were like, fuck Kyle. Who's
and so
Kyle?
Then I was out on Saturday night, and this guy stopped me, and he goes, I'm Kyle.
Oh, my God.
And I looked at him, and I was like, you're Kyle? And it took me a while, and then I was like, okay, I did suck you off. I do remember. Mm. And I was like, do you have, like, a really thick dick? And he was like, I do. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, I think because I was like, did I suck you off? I don't know. And then he described my apartment to a T and exactly where I lived. And I was like, okay,
that's
yes.
Why I don't have people over.
Yeah.
And then my pride was trying to find reasons why I was bad at the blowjob instead of just accepting that I gave a bad blowjob.
Yeah.
In the reality, like, he just had a thick dick and my jaw was tired. And he
can't
goes,
win. Can't
and then he
win.
Goes, I mean, I came.
I mean, yeah. Oh. It's like, well, God.
Well, it's all you
and
did.
I was like, oh. You also never said, excuse me, it's a little toothy.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Like, he never said anything. And they're talking shit on me on the internet. Kyle.
Did you ever used to cruise? Was that something that you would do?
No. But I did have a friend who said, if you ever see anything weird on the street, it's cruising. And I find that to be really true. Like, I saw this one guy, speaking of dentistry, he was flossing his teeth sitting on a curb.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cruising.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's cruising. So if you see anything that's off, and it's you're like,
cruising.
What's it's cruising?
There's a. Okay, so and then we're going to wrap up, but I just want to say, do you know what Sniffies is?
No.
Sniffies is a new website. It's a map based cruising app that, unlike Grindr, is like you can put your dick as your profile.
Okay.
And it's literally like pre looped, cleaned out, ready to get fucked, parked in the Tesla. You know, at the, you know, like, come fuck me in front of the LA Fitness or whatever.
Oh, good, good, good.
So it's good. It's this, like, tech-based cruising thing. And you can set up groups.
Mm.
So there was a group that would meet up in West Hollywood and free ball. And it was about a block. Like, they would set the, they would say, it's from this street to this street on the block. We're going to stroll up and down. Everyone's going to be free balling, like, shaking their junk at each other.
Oh, good, good.
And then if you feel,
I love it.
If you feel like hooking up, like, go off and do whatever. But the point of this group is that we free ball for 1 hour.
And locations based. I love that.
Up and down this block.
It's kind of like the November challenge of, like, going and, like, working out in the park.
Yes.
Everybody gets together at a certain time.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
But I imagine if you were a person driving around looking for parking on that block, and you see 20 guys, and you're like, all these guys are the same. And I feel like I'm seeing cock. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Cruising.
Good for them.
You see something weird on the street?
It's cruising.
It's cruising. Okay, Margaret, thank you so much
for
being here.
Thank you so much
for
being here.
If you're out in the world and you want to see Margaret Cho on the Live and Livid tour, here are some upcoming dates. February 6th, Largo in Los Angeles. February 22nd, the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
February
23rd, the Egyptian Room in Indianapolis. Oh, my goodness. Indianapolis, Indiana.
March 29th, the Fillmore in Philadelphia. March 30th, the Byman?
Byham Theater in Pittsburgh. April 11th, the Paramount Moonwater Festival in Austin, Texas. And April 12th at the Texas Theater in Dallas, Texas.
You heard it here first. Go see Margaret on the road. Thanks for being
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at Sloppy Pod. You can send us an email at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com or call in with your own fuck talk story to 213-536-9111. 80. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday.
And you can sign up for Mom Plus Gold. You get full uncensored video episodes of Sloppy Seconds, plus monthly episodes of our bonus show, Sloppier Seconds, and BTS from our recordings, and tons of ad-free content on Mom Plus Gold. You can sign up at mompodcast.plus.
Goodbye! To get access to our full uncensored video episodes ad-free and one day early, sign up for Mom Plus Gold at mompodcasts.plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball.
Engineered by Margot Padilla.
Editing and sound design by William Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.